Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I am super excited to welcome Freddie D'Angelo Studios to the show. They are now a proud sponsor, and if you don't know Freddie D'Angelo Studios, they are a full-service media production company based out of St. Louis and serving clients worldwide. Where if you can dream it, they can create it. Check out FDS all over your social media. You can get involved with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out freddiedangelo.com for all your video and photo needs. If you haven't met Freddie yet, you've probably seen him around shows or seen some of his work online. He's just been doing some amazing things with his camera. So get involved. Check it all out. Again, freddiedangelo.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, I'm Carson.
Hi, I'm Joe.
Hey, I eventually will be Sean.
I'm Phil Wright. We're the Scandal Arrows, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All night.
All night.
Uh-huh.
You don't know.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the guys of the Scandaleros.
Hell
welcome,
yeah.
Welcome back,
here.
Guys.
All of us. Well, three of us.
Three of us.
Yeah. you guys want to introduce yourselves again?
I'm Carson. I play guitar and sing.
I'm Joe. I play the bass and I also sing.
I'm Phil. I play harmonica and get group chat messages apparently in the middle of podcasts.
Busy man.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here, guys. I'm having like one of my probably one of my most St. Louis days in a little while.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing my fivefold hoodie, my St. Louis ball cap. I got my funky nice. Butt shirt on underneath it.
Represent.
I hung out this morning with Jeremy Siegel Moss and Paul Niehaus and talk St. Louis blues.
Cool.
And then I went and had lunch at Broadway Oyster Bar.
Nice. Holy cow. And that is a St. Louis
and
day.
Now
man.
I'm hanging
more
out
St.
with
Louis than us.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah, man.
So it's pretty solid St. Louis day.
Yeah. So yeah, this is completing, man, right here.
If you think about it, we got the St. Louis flag on the album cover. So
yeah, man.
Right on. Bringing it in full circle.
It's all tying together.
All coming together.
Yeah, man, the record, that's why we're here today. We got a brand new debut album, right?
Scandaleros. It's on South Broadway.
Yeah. This and you guys, Phil leaked me a copy the other night, and I got to listen, and I love it, man. It's awesome. Sounds great.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So we got a big party on Sunday, March 4th, over at Broadway Oyster Bar, and if you're listening to this, you can come get yourself a copy that evening and take home with you.
Yeah, got Broadway... Broadway Oyster Bar is hosting the release, and Bottoms Up Blues Gang is going to open for us. It should be a real good night.
Yeah,
it'll be an early show too. So because it's a Sunday, so we'll
post game at McGurk's.
Yeah, post party at McGurk's after the show's over with. So the doors meaning they start charging for the show at 6. Bottoms Up should be about 7. I think we're on about like 8:30, and we'll be done with our show by 10 o'clock. So you can be home and in bed by 10:30, and
Or go to McGurk's,
which is what we're all going to do.
Yeah. And you guys plan to do the whole record?
Yeah. Full record, a couple of surprises at the end. And
a few new songs, a few new original tunes.
We've got
a couple.
We've got a guest joining us, too. We've got all the people that are on the CD with us. Kerry Liston from the Bottoms Up Blues Gang was on vocals with us. Hillary Fitz from the Hillary Fitz Band is joining us. Adam Aaron and Austin from the Funky Butt Brass Band are blowing horns with us, and Spanky, the honorary fifth Scandalero, is playing keys with us for the whole night too. So it's the big band version of us, and we're gonna play the
orchestra.
Album. Yeah, we're gonna play the album, and a few surprises on top of it. So
it's kind of all my dreams come true, to tell you the truth. That big band like that with the horns and the
girls,
the
beef
greens,
spicy sandwich.
I'm saying spicy Italian sandwich.
Let's not derail back to the sandwich talk. We spent 15 minutes sandwich talking before we could start the podcast.
Well, it is a good subject, and anytime you want to do a podcast on sandwiches,
we should totally have a Scandaleros food talk
Absolutely not.
Has Shane hosted
a food vlog?
Vlog? Yeah. That sounds dirty. I don't know what that is. But vlog. B.
Google it.
Go vlog yourself.
Yeah. So we're really excited about the CD release, though.
Yeah.
And it's 9 original songs. And I think it tells a story. And I think that people will be pleasantly surprised if they aren't already happy with how it sounds. I know I am. So, really looking forward to it.
The feedback we've gotten on it so far has been overwhelmingly positive from people that we respect, people that we think highly of, have said some really nice things about it. So, and we're proud of it. I think we ought to be. I mean, it's, I think we try to be,
Took long enough.
Yeah. It ought to sound good for as long as it took to do it. But that's, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that Fat Buddha and was great to work with, and Ross Vanderslice, our engineer, was
fantastic,
top notch, and incredibly patient, and gave input when we needed it, and at the same time stayed out of our way and left to let us kind of, And we had probably too much fun sometimes recording the whole thing.
That's true.
Yeah, we managed to get everybody, a lot of friends in and out of the studio with us while we were recording, and some of them, like Josh Wattler, managed to make it onto the recording too. So.
Did he?
Yeah, well, he got shirtless and he got in the booth. Remember when we were doing the gang vocals on Reap?
Forgot about that.
There's pictures documented. It's on Facebook. It's real.
Yeah, it is. Now I remember the picture. That's funny.
It is cool for me, obviously kind of being a small part of this with you guys, like documenting some of this along the way. Mm-hmm. Carson came on a while back and solo and played some songs, and you played Freeway live acoustic on the show.
Yeah.
So it was cool to hear go from, solo acoustic guitar to this huge arrangement on the record now.
Rain pours heavy on the car windshield. Leaving this place wouldn't be so bad. The highway could be the best time we ever had. Put me on the freeway to the sunset. Oh, that's where I want to be. On the freeway, it's lovely and bad. And that's where you find me. Not much more there is to say, not much more I can do. I just know that I don't want to hate, and I know I'm not through. Put me on the freeway.
Like, that's like one of my favorite things, that evolution of a song and how.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's kind of almost 10 years in the making.
I mean,
I wrote a bunch of songs because I knew that's what I wanted to go in that direction. And I ended up writing a bunch of songs that I kind of had to learn how to play, and so they did. They evolved from this simple acoustic beginning that just writing them in my living room into something that's, totally different.
Yeah,
a new life all of its own in some respects.
I think that's been the fun part too, is playing in this band for a few years, and Joe, of course, been doing it together longer than I had, is the just how those songs have changed the way we do them live, even since the recording process. Like, I know there's things I do differently when playing live.
I think we play them different every single time we play them.
For sure.
I mean, maybe not, not completely different, just, we jam a little, we add things, just that's why the people keep coming, they don't know what's going to happen.
Right. But there's definitely some licks that I picked up from, even since the CD came out, of course, listening to it more, there's things I picked up that I did on the recordings that I'm like, oh, or things that I could think of that are sometimes, the horns aren't always with us, so sometimes I'm pulling the horn lines.
Oh, yeah.
Going, I like what the horns did there, so I'm like.
Yeah. Or the backing vocals.
Or even the way we do the harmonies, some of the backing vocals and some of the songs live now have changed, because while we're not Emily and Carrie and Hillary, we can figure out a way to make that work for us. We're nowhere near this. But we're trying to mimic that what they were doing at the same time with certain times. And it makes sense for what we do. I mean, it's, I had the same talk about City Girls the other night with somebody, with Brian Sachs, who helped write it with me. But that song was, written for Snarky Gargoyles, and how it started was on Dave Clark's front porch and at a rehearsal, and I had lyrics, and they kind of put together some music with it, and we went downstairs, and 10 minutes later we had a song, but it was such a rough sketch, and then when I sent Brian and Tony Johnson the rough mix of the album that we were doing here. Get lost in the city now, brother. Pray you find your way home. City girls take your money. Leave you crying all alone. So find yourself a highway. You better run. Sent it to them, you know, had the girls and the horns on it and everything, and they were like, wow, that's a whole different feel to the song, and you know, it's the layers to it were completely different than what it was before. So I think for us, like what you were saying, I think it's been fun to kind of see how these songs, you know, you've heard Phil Lesh talk about the idea that the song exists and it's somewhere out there and it's us to channel the song at some point in time. It's
oh yeah,
and that's yeah. You know, that's some heady talk, but I mean
it is pretty heady.
But it's
heady.
A heady kind of guy. It's a very heady kind of guy. But it's
I'm new to the verbiage, but yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily think that that's exactly what happens, but I do think that you know we are finding ways to serve the song differently at different times, and mm-hmm. I think that's what your job is as a musician at times is to serve
that's
the
good
song.
Point, Phil.
And so
yeah, man.
You know, I was really happy with how the album kind of captured our live concept, though, too. Like, there was some sounds and
yeah,
stuff in the album
it's that hard to
I
do
thought
that.
Were really indicative of the way we play them live. You know, and sometimes there's a lot of separation between the two. And, yeah, there's some ornamentation on the songs. And, you know, well, I guess you'll hear it at the CD release show. But when we play our other gigs, it's not always, it wasn't always there. But with the recording, it's like it actually picked up some of that. And I was really happy with that, too.
You guys do a lot of the live together when you recorded it, or how was that?
Well, we kind of recorded it in a I don't know what you'd call it, like a scratch environment where we just played it the way we would play it in the studio.
Yeah, like my, you know, my bass lines were done the very first day in the studio.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been playing the songs for 8 years at that point, so for me, right. It was just like, boom.
Yeah, we pretty much, I mean, if you think about it, we pretty much did them live, like you said, scratch.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
We all were played separate, live together, rooms, yeah. And we're in separate rooms, you know, through phones, of course, through earphones, and we played each song maybe two or three times to get the basic tracks down, and then, of course, like everybody does, you go back later and you or whatever, solos, and do harmonies, and recut vocals, and, you know, add in this, and take this out, you know, and but yeah, I think the principal recording for, like, the basic tracks were done over the course of maybe three nights in December and January of 16 and 17, and then, you know, the rest of the time was adding, building, tweaking, you know, mm-hmm. so forth and so on.
But in through all of that, I think it still is a very good representation of the way what you'll hear live.
Yeah,
you know, it really carries over, and so yeah. I'm very happy about
yeah,
that.
I think we can safely say that if you like the record, you're not be disappointed in what we sound like live by any means.
Yeah, yeah.
There's definitely times where we've all done that where you've heard a band's album and then you see them live and you're like, oh. Okay, that's not necessarily better or worse, just different sometimes. And you're like, okay, I think
it's just different. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like the horns are there, there's female backing vocalists, Spanky's there, you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a lot more color.
Right.
And, you know, part of my concern, I guess, was that some of that might get lost But I don't think it did at all. No. I mean, I think it just, it's again, more of a representation of what we do. Because, as you've spoken to before, you know, Spanky will join the band. He is kind of an honorary member because he does play with us enough. And a Mardi Gras show we did recently, the Funky Butthorns did show up and play the third set with us. So, I mean, it really does kind of start to sound like what we really do. And I couldn't be more proud of that.
Yeah. I don't know. We may have talked about it in the past too, but like, I think of like Aaron Cam and the One Drops record. Like, there's some Funky Butthorns on there also, but a lot of times they only play as the three piece, but they have done special events where Funky Butt will join them and stuff, and like, so even though those horns aren't there from the record on all the tracks, like, it's still a great show.
Oh, yeah.
When you get the horns in there, then it's even better. It takes it to the next level. So
It's like extra toppings on pizza.
Right, yeah.
Who doesn't like that?
Amen to that.
Or a sandwich, you know?
Yeah, or a sandwich is going to be good.
Sandwiches.
You know, the reading of the title of the album was a confluence in South Broadway is that, as you know, because you're a part of the South Broadway as much as we are, is that is the area in town where you can go and you can, on a given night, you're going to find a bunch of knuckleheads lining up on stage together. And that's always been something that this band is, you know, as long as I've been playing with this group, is that we've always been able to welcome, and fortunate to welcome, like, top-notch players that want to sit in and join us from around town. And and be sitting with a bunch of people, too. And so the idea that St. Louis is a river town, which is only put the flag on the front, and that, you know, South Broadway is that area where a lot of musicians kind of come together and meet and play together.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the Oyster Bar and Beale and BB's and that area up and down there, it's not uncommon. And, you know, that's not always the case. And I know I've talked about this at different times, but that's not always the case in every other city. So I think it's something that should be celebrated in St. Louis. And that's why we were excited to have the friends we were able to have come join us. And, of course, you know, you're always all honored when you ask them to do it, and they say yes, and you get to ask people. We got to ask. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
Hillary Fitz, Emily Wallace.
We're lucky to have such talented friends. I mean, it's just it's a blessing. So
it really is.
So it's just,
and they all had a great time doing it too. That's the funny. That's the thing. You know, I've been in. I'm sure all of us have been in to record with other people before, and you're the guest.
Serious.
And it's like you're in and out, and it's like it's you know, you're in, put your work in, and you get out. Talking to Carrie Liston last night about the night that they came in, and we definitely had a great time that they came in. It was pretty fun. We
enjoy ourselves, you know. That's the spirit of the whole thing, is to have fun and have a good time.
Yeah.
And be inclusive, and, you know, have your friends come along and make it a party, you know.
Or the night the horns came in, we were in the big room together, and they were in a separate room. We were all in this part listening to them. They said, you know, what do you want us to do? And this and that, and I said, I was kind of hoping you guys would just figure out what you wanted to do.
We were kind of hoping you just
kind of hoping you guys know what to do. You know, we're hearing, ba 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 ba.
Just do what
you
do.
You know that scat thing you guys do that you on stage, and when I'm with you, like, do that and figure out how we can
work. Seriously, and they all made their stuff up right there on the spot.
Yep.
Like at one point, Adam Huckey asked me to hum a certain riff that there is in that song "When I Reap."
Not try. But I stood there with my thoughts, not knowing what to do. Mean I can have anything I want to, anything I choose. But I turn around and walk away with my heart still true. Yeah, I turn around and walk away. Then he looked at me with some cold black fear. He could tell I was a faded, would not give to the fear. In a sudden tone, he said, "Hey man, what you gonna do?" Well, I looked right back at him and said, "I'm good, old scratch. How about?" We'll be right back.
You know, and they literally made it up right there. Like, I've written some stuff out. He's like, no, that's not going to help. Seriously. So he's like, can you just hum it for me? And I'm like, so then I hummed it for him. And right there on the spot.
We're all good enough friends, too. Like, you know, they were in there, and I was cutting, I was redoing a solo of mine. And I said, and I was asking these guys, you know, what do you think between this one and the last one and the other one that I did a minute ago? And I did one more, and Aaron Chandler goes, that's the one. Now get out of the room. All right, cool.
There you go.
He's like, that's the one you're taking right there. That's it. You're good. Solid. And I'm like, and I felt the same way, too. I'm like, yep, you know what? That's cool.
Yeah.
He's probably right.
Yep.
So you said when I reap, and can we talk about the ending on that one? I think that's a great example of the fun you guys were having in the studio. Obviously,
yeah.
Obviously, you can hear there's some stuff from the studio left on the end of this track.
We excel at banter.
Yeah.
at banter and
just come see us play, yeah. And you'll see some magnificent
banter. It's really our forte.
But you can hear the ladies singing, and then you can hear you guys talking.
It's the same kind of thing there. They were kind of, I don't want to say they're making it up, but I mean, they were making it up to, you know, figure out what to do, you know, because it was kind of a really spontaneous situation. And, you know, so they were kind of having some fun with not knowing what to do and having never sung together.
That's either. Other person.
I mean, they're figuring out who sings where, what part, you know. And, man, they killed it,
yeah.
You know. And that's part of the honor, I think.
It was funny, though, because
those three women do it.
It was funny when they came out of the booth, though, because they came out and they wanted to listen back to what they'd done. And Carrie can be, you know, she can tell you what's up pretty quick.
Can I say gregarious?
Yeah, and she said, Emily, you need to... You need to wail more at the end of this, like, and you can hear on like the last part of Reap, you can hear Emily just that big soulful voice coming over the top of the back, everything, and she's kind of like.
I thought that was on Freeway.
Was it Freeway?
Where she's like riffing.
Emily? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's on Freeway. Yeah, I was thinking about you were talking about Reap with the banter earlier. Sorry, yeah. I got tripped. Yeah. Anyway, at the end of Freeway, you can hear her really belting it out, and kind of like a sort of call and response thing, and it was kind of Carrie that told her to do it. And of course, Emily's not going to argue with her. Emily, you want more? I'll be more.
I wouldn't argue with Carrie.
Heck yeah,
I wouldn't argue with Carrie. But they're all in the booth at the end of that thing, and what you hear at the end of that track there on Reap that you were asking about, it's, you know, obviously they're listening to stuff we recorded months before that.
Yeah, and so, because they thought I was talking to them. I had said something, and so they thought that was me talking to them in the booth, and
it's something Carson had said 3 months before.
All right,
and you hear Carrie go, "Oh, that's the playback. Oh, I thought they were talking to us. Get out of my head!" And then the rest of it's just like us laughing from 3 months before, and them laughing at that time in the back. It's, but it sounds, because we're all friends like that. It sounds like, you know, we're having a funny conversation and
they're doing what we do.
Yeah.
First time we heard it come back that way, Ross sent us a lot of things that we didn't put on the record that were really funny too. But he sent us that at the end of Reef, and he just kind of left it on there, and I said.
Yeah, we wanted to keep the PG-13 rating.
We got to Possible Moon for a show for Valley of Wine on Tuesday night, and I brought the mixes down because I just got them, and I threw them on. You guys were all standing there, and I go, "Listen to this." And I just fast forwarded through the song, I'm like, "Listen to the stuff at the end of Reap," and we played it back, and I'm like, "Do we agree we need to leave that there?" And we're like, "Yes, we need to leave it." Yeah, it was like
that shows who we are, you know. Sure. Just sweet guys having fun.
I love doing that on my own show too, like, mm-hmm. Occasionally somebody will say something like after we've cut the show or whatever, something will still get caught on the mic, and I'm like, I'll just leave it on as an outtake, and just because it's funny, and it like, you know, just shows it, and it shows character,
like, listen,
it's
like to listen to that, so you know, that's, well, I mean, it's you know, you could see like the behind the scenes, right. Almost kind of
Well, I mean, there's some weighty stuff in that CD as far as lyrically what they're about. I mean, and I'm not going to get into Carson's personal reasons about it or mine for different things, but there's some, you know, there's some intensity there, and it can be intense musically too. And so I think sometimes just to kind of go, we're not those serious guys. If anybody that knows us knows we're not those serious guys. But I mean, like, you know, kind of having that fun moment in there is kind of like important.
Yeah.
Well, it's life, you know. I mean, it's a balance, right? Sure. You know, I mean, it's serious and then it's not serious, you know. So to me, the lyrics kind of, in some ways, they seem serious, but it's really about the triumph of the human spirit. You know, and that in of itself is a fun, happy thing, you know, because ultimately the human spirit perseveres, you know, and so it's cause for celebration, it's cause for spontaneity, it's cause for having a good time, and I think you see that in the making of the album and in the net result as well.
Yeah, man, for sure. You, like I said, I love the whole record, but track four, It's All Right, was kind of one that really, I thought was really cool. I don't know. It felt like, I mean, I know you guys are huge fans, but it felt like you guys, it was like a long lost Allman Brothers track or something. Like, it just totally has that feel, like, just that, especially the, some of the
harmonies. Shh, don't tell the audience that.
Oh, yeah. But, it's just,
I love playing that song good. Live. It's different from what we, you know, from our norm of just, you know, rocking.
Yeah.
You know, and so it brings it down, you know, you can listen to the lyrics, you know, I just, I love playing that song.
Yeah.
All right. And so I'm thinking now,
Well, to that effect, I think that's another good quality about the record is there's lots of dynamics. Right. There's lots of different styles and approach. The song Battles, kind of a slow, bluesy dirge. You know, City Girls has a kind of a fun-loving message, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of departs from some of the other ones. So, I mean, there's a lot of variety there. And I think that's also the nature of the Scandalous is there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
It's been, like, it's interesting that you brought up It's All Right because there's literally people have told me about different things. I mean, Kirk spent 10 minutes the other night, and Kirk's seen us play a lot. A buddy of ours seen us play a lot.
Yeah, we know Kirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk may or may not have been the one. The onus behind the WTF is Joe
Productions in the house.
Yeah. But Kirk really wanted to let me know all about a couple of particular songs that he really liked and what they meant to him. And that's cool. That's somebody who's seen us a lot.
He's seen a lot of music. Yeah. He's definitely got a musical
opinion. I love that guy. He's so sweet. I mean,
makes great t-shirts.
Love you, Kurt.
But he, It's All Right came up, though. And somebody else was standing there, and they said, oh, yeah, it was somebody else who got a copy of the record earlier and said, yeah, they go, and you said the Allman Brothers thing. They said, yeah, the beginning of that, though, really sounds like it could have been a Black Crowes song at the very beginning. And I went back and listened, and the part where, you know, Spanky's playing this melodic piano piece at the top of the whole thing, and it really does sound like one of those early Black Crowes tracks where, you know, where Eddie Harsh would have been playing piano with that whole thing.
Well, I mean, I think that...
I'm not comparing it to Black Crowes.
No, but I think it speaks to a nature of a musician and who they are you know, the cloth that they're cut from, so to speak. Sure. And that's how I write songs. That's my approach to music is kind of the Southern rock amalgamation or conglomeration of different influences, country music, blues music, jazz... You know, lots of different things, you know, and so I think that comes through in that song and all the songs, really, you know, because like Battle Again, it's not exactly a traditional blues song. It's not kind of like a 12 bar form, you know, it deviates from that. And same with It's All Right, you know, I mean, it's going to remind you of certain things because, you know, it's rock music, you know, and so it's going to be from the American songbook, if you will.
Yeah. It was kind of fun when we were in the studio, too. Like, I can remember, you know, there's a couple of lines in there that I remember me and Sean Englund both talking about. We really
dug. That's partially based on a true story, yeah, actually.
The imagery of meeting the devil in an alley in New Orleans, and then
it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
dude had on a like Alice Cooper type mascara, all dark and haunting. He had this big old tall top hat. It was really scary.
So. I don't think I've ever heard the story. I didn't know.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve, and there was fireworks going on. And I forget, I was kind of drunk, to tell you the truth.
New Orleans and New Year's Eve? No way.
Yeah, hammer drunk.
Hammer drunk. I'm in the front row. Hammer drunk.
Jesus is on lead vocal with an angel band? No. But it's actually kind of based on a true story. I think he was trying to sell me something, but I told him to shove off.
Yeah, that's where the line, I'm good on the scratch. How about you? That's the line we were talking about.
Well, because I was drunk enough, and it was just a haunting enough of an image, you know, this dude in I think they call it Orleans Alley. It's between, it's in St. Louis Cathedral there, mm-hmm. and it's a place where the pirates used to jump the fence to escape the police because the Catholic Church was sovereign territory.
Right.
Anyway, all that imagery was just going off in my head, and this kind of scary-looking dude... trying to sell me something. It's basically the story of that, you know, me not freaking out and ending up, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I ever
drunk in a ditch somewhere. I don't know, man. It's New Orleans. It's the French Quarter, dude. Stuff happens. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't know that whole story. I caught bits and pieces of it. But it's, again, you know, even for us, it's there's lines and I don't think it's anybody who records anything, any musician where you've written, there's things that jump out at your peers and things that you pick up on, you know, and it's funny. And and when I was single this summer, there were different girls who asked me different things about what City Girls was about, and I just said, "What do you think it's about?"
Right.
You know?
It's a good point because while I was living in New Orleans, I was working with this guy who's a member of the Nashville Singer Songwriters Association. Now, I never really got that serious about the craft, but he always kept saying, write what you know.
Yeah.
Tell your story. Write what you know. And so when I'm trying to think of lyrics, you know, everything else sounds kind of stupid. But if I start to tell my own story, something that I can really relate to and then convey to an audience, hopefully, then it starts to be something a little bit more meaningful, you know, and genuine, and not just something that's contrived or what you might find in popular music,
right?
You know, so in effect, I'm kind of proud of that because I think, sure, it does tell the band's story, yeah, and from a genuine quality songwriting point of view.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure that's why Kirk and myself and, you know, people connect to it as much as we do, is just because that it's real. You know, we can, you can relate to those stories and things. So,
well, you guys being guys who appreciate, you know, lots of different types of music too, and understand, like, you know, one of the things I admire about you is the fact that you have your hands in a lot of things musically, but and comedy as well. Like, you've turned me on to people that I didn't know about in St. Louis. And St. Louis has a lot of different music scenes, and I think we can get this. Our band can definitely go into a couple of different venues that way, and we've been asked to open and do co-bills with people who are, and Carson and I are working on something with, I mean, we can't name names, but there's working on something in August with something completely different than what we've done as far as a multi-band bill, you know, hip-hop involved in it. And so it's like, you know, I think that's
people, which is also cool, because that's kind of my lyrical point of view. I mean, I grew up listening to hip hop.
No, same here, yeah.
You know, so
we can do all another
my
podcast.
My lyrical approach is kind of like, you know, it tries to be rhythmic like that. It's not necessarily a defined, structured melody.
Right.
It's more about the words and the message, kind of like the poetry you'd find in hip hop.
But I think, like I said, with guys like, with, like you guys and like you and Kirk and people like that, and people that we were talking about who've given us feedback, the reason it means as much as it does is because you guys appreciate stuff that I appreciate, which I think is good music, and so if you're getting something out of it from what we're doing, then I feel like we're on the right road. And you know, there are definitely people who can write and play circles around any of us in this band, and I think we can hold our own with a lot of people in St. Louis in other ways. And but I'm very proud of what we put on that record. I'm very proud of what, I know you're proud of what you wrote, and you ought to be, and I am too. And you know, we're both eager to get something new going for another record.
Oh, yeah.
and writing and kind of
got, I was doing a head count the other night, and there's 16 songs that I've completed, mm-hmm, and we recorded 8 of those, and I think there's no reason to think in the next year or so we couldn't have another record.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got about 10 that I've got scratch work on, and that I think we could flush out at least 4 or 5 of those in the next few months and have up and going.
There you go.
Well, come out Sunday, March 4th, and pick up this record, and again, get there early, catch Bottoms Up Blues Game, grab some dinner, have a great time, Sunday night with
Broadway
Scandaleros. Yeah, you guys, I know you recently went to Columbia, mm-hmm, and did a show up there. Is that something you guys want to do the road a little more? And
oh yeah,
a little bit regionally.
Yeah,
it's a good show like that. One, I mean, it was a celebration of Greg Allman's birthday. And it was with Driving Wheel and kind of good local bands out of the Columbia area. So, yeah, I mean, a beautiful gig like that.
We're definitely actively trying to network with friends we have that are in other cities, and people who are wanting to come through and wanting to pick up co-bills, and then we would do the same thing with them. I don't think any of us are necessarily looking at, you know, doing 2 weeks on the road anytime soon or like that. But, like, you know, something where we could get to Columbia or Cape.
Well,
or
if the money's good, we'll play anywhere.
This is true. But no,
Joe's,
I mean, like,
the entrepreneur of the
band. I think an ideal setting by you know, end of the year, we could have something, you know, like I said, Columbia, Cape, Springfield, and we've got connections, sure, in those towns, and possibly over in Illinois as well. And
well, St. Louis's location, you can do a weekend trip and cover a lot of ground, you know.
Yeah. There's plenty of places, just 5 hours, you know,
between here and Chicago,
you know.
Yeah, and by summer, you know, my thoughts are, anyway, and then we haven't talked about this as a group, but just inside my own head, by summer of like 19, I think we could possibly get out and do a couple of different weekend runs at different places within you and I talked about the Sturgill Simpson five hour model of doing kind of a weekend, anything within 5 hours is fair game.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, in the meantime, we play around here a lot, and we play over, and we'll be in Edwardsville next weekend at the Stagger Inn again, which is we play there once a month, and that's the only other show we have between now and the release show, which is, that's on Saturday night, and the release show is on Sunday, and then we haven't announced this yet. We have a April 20th gig. April 20th, that is. I think that's the fourth.
Oh, no.
That's the fourth month, right?
It is the fourth month.
It's the 20th day
of the fourth month.
So we have a...
Yeah, it's just another, you know...
It's just another gig.
No significance whatsoever.
We're going to do the, it is the day after my birthday.
Oh, that's right.
It was my dad's birthday, so it was another. We've got a gig that night at the Imperial Club in Granite City, Illinois, and we're going to do the Watkins Glen thing that night, which means we'll do one set of Scandal Arrows material and then two sets of the Elmer Brothers and the band. We'll do that on, it's April 20th, April 20th. and then,
fourth month,
20th it's Friday. Day. Yep, and then March 24th also, we're doing the Schlafly Stout and Oyster Festival.
That's a
fun party.
Man, that's one of the best.
The big inflated dome looking thing they put us in.
Yeah.
The looks like a giant greenhouse.
Lineup's always sick. The oysters.
Yeah, the lineup's pretty big. I think it's Big Mike, Funky Butt, us.
Mardi Gras is about the only thing I think that stacks up to it. I mean, in terms of awesome.
It's fun. We've done it a couple of times. So we're doing that on the 24th. That'll be the day after I'll be driving back from Florida the night before that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's those are some of the feature shows we got coming up soon. And we're at the Venice.
March 10th at the Venice Cafe.
Come see, that's a little slice of heaven, too.
Yeah.
They're all awesome. What am I talking about?
I literally love
every game we play.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate in the sense that, you know, we're very happy with the places we play, and we've managed to build relationships with the people who are the staff at those places.
They like us, we like them.
You know, I always refer to the Oyster Bar as being my home base, but I could say the same thing about the Venice. I could say the same thing about, you know, a couple of places, and we're fortunate that way.
Stagger.
We've got some other plans, coming up, we can might as well plug this also. March 14th, Voodoo Allman Brothers. We're the Voodoo Allman Brothers with Sean Cannon's Voodoo Players. So that's coming up. That's that's a Scandal Arrows and Sean Cannon and Tony Robotas on drums as well with us that night. That's coming up March 14th, and then we have some other plans in the work with that lineup for the summer. I'll leave it at that, and then so
lots of good things, lots of fun things.
Yeah,
lots
of I'll leave it anything up. You guys can think of anything we should be.
I think that's pretty much it.
Come to the CD release show.
Yeah, but the release show is what we're mainly focusing on right now. And we've got some surprises, like I said. I don't want to do anything at all to spoil those, but some stuff that... there's a specific reason we're rehearsing twice for this show, I'll put it that way. We're rehearsing this afternoon with the core band, and then tomorrow night with the full dress rehearsal with all the guests. And we'll be kind of focusing on the couple of surprises. And we have Bobby Commander doing lights for us. We'll have a light show with us that night. And,
yep, big show.
It's going to be like a real rock show.
Yeah.
A
live rock and roll band.
A real rock show.
So, it'll be fine. Of course, there wasn't much discussion about where we were going to do it. It was, you know, I think we were still in the studio doing the basic tracks in December that year, and we're like, we all agree we're going to do the release show at the Oyster Bar, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a no-brainer.
Pretty much. I think we played there, like, what, 4 or 5 times this month?
Yeah, something like that between Mardi Gras and everything else, yeah.
How was Mardi Gras? I ended up switching shifts, and then I had a late night instead of the kegs and eggs with you guys.
There was a line outside. It's great every year. In the morning.
Yeah.
So that tells
you. Well, the parade day there.
It was fun. And we had Spanky with us for the day, and then he had to leave to go do the Voodoo Players gig and down to the Joni's tent. And he left after the second set when we took our long break for the parade. And so you're kind of trying to gear up for that third set after a long break. And you're like, all right, let's go. And right as we're about to start, all of a sudden the side door opens and here comes Aaron and Adam and Cody and Ron Sykes. And we're like
superheroes.
And we're like, oh, thank God they're here. They just showed up.
Seriously, like the cavalry.
It was the kick in the butt we needed. You know, we played a killer last set.
It was good, and
it was fun. It was, you know, when you have those guys with you, you open up a whole bag of things we can do that we normally wouldn't probably try to do as our core 5 or 6 piece. Like we did Tremont Shorty's Hurricane Season that day,
that's a great song for us.
Yeah, and you know, did that with those guys, but it still felt like a Scandal Arrows version of it. So
and
some other Mardi Gras tunes that we did with those. So yeah, it was a fun day. It always is. It's I don't ever want to do a different gig from Mardi Gras. It's cool. Like I did too many years of doing it down in the middle of the soup and getting out of that. Doing
it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty easy and easy out.
That breakfast is amazing.
Oh yeah.
I mean the andouille sausage gravy and the biscuits are good. Man,
I missed out this year. I wish that was some good eating down there though, man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like great donuts.
I think it's donuts. Awesome that you work there as often you do, and you still stop there for lunch today.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah,
well, it shows you how good it is.
I had to get some enchiladas and jambalaya, man, and bread pudding. So.
Yeah,
heck yeah.
Yeah, it was a good day.
Damn,
dude, great day.
Not one enchiladas.
Banner day.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, man. Sweet. Well, very cool. Well, I guess we'll wrap this thing. Sean, you got anything to add?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Sean.
Like I said,
Sean Edmund, everybody.
Yeah, man.
Prompt for rehearsal.
Yeah.
Late for the podcast, prompt for the rehearsal.
Yeah, we were just talking about how pumped up we are for Sunday, man. It's going to be a good day.
Absolutely. It's I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'm always excited to bring out the big percussion rig.
Yeah.
Ready to run. Did you get that whole corner?
Yeah.
That's sweet. All right. All the toys.
All the toys.
All the bells.
I might only play this on like one note for the whole show, but I'm going to bring it anyway.
Just so I have it.
It weighs 17 pounds, but it's worth my while.
Hey, my triangle roadie's getting extra work out that.
Triangle roadie.
Is that what you're calling Athena these days?
Look out! Hey now! Hey-o!
All right.
Well,
she knows I love her. I'm giving her grief.
Well, join us Sunday at Oyster Bar and everything else you can find. Facebook, follow Scandaleros on there for more dates. And
Scandaleros.com.
Yeah, check it all out.
Official Scandaleros merch.
Yeah, we are launching a website soon.
Yeah, well, and you got, yeah, speaking of merch, I forgot to mention, you got shirts, we got
thongs
even.
Or eye patches, depending on how you want to wear it.
Yeah, you can wear a thong.
Yeah.
That's right.
And some stickers. And we got stickers. some stickers and some koozies should be in this week, too.
Koozies.
And you can also get your WTF Joe Capen t-shirts and your your Philharmonica t-shirts there as well. Those will all be
courtesy
part
of Black.
And we have ladies' cuts t-shirts, which I was told was a problem with merchandise we've done in the past. Is nobody ever has lady shirts, so we have a limited supply.
Ladies, we got you covered.
You could literally make your boyfriend / husband's birthday / Christmas / anniversary you have coming up by just a Scandaleros t-shirt and a Scandaleros thong.
Yep.
Or eye patch, again, depending on how you choose to wear it.
And there are, will be merchandise packages that will probably include some configuration or all of that.
Yeah, that's your brown paper tickets, which is available. Brown paper tickets has advanced tickets available with merchandise packages also, and you can find that all again through Scandaleros on Facebook with the event page for the show. So
nice. Well, very cool.
Not to be used without license. Ricky Bobby Inc.
Of the NFL.
Yes.
Ricky Bobby Inc.
Alright, thanks guys.
Thanks, Shane. Love you, buddy.
Yeah, love
Shane.
You guys.
Thanks, you.
Good to
Thank
see you,
you,
brother.
Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zach building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff along the throughout the day. So, get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band, you want to get your records on the shelf over there, reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.